Shalom to all. Today we're going to learn Yerushalmi Yuma, Perek Vav, Halacha Dalet, and the Ozvar Tzuras Adav, it's on Mem Amar Aleph near the top, and the Article Tzuras Adav, it's on Mem Gimel Amar Beis near the bottom, and today's office sponsor, Lilu Nishmas, Marsh Mirim Sarah Basab Yaakov Moshe, Hernish, Shama should have an Aliyah. So we continue discussing the Sar LaZazel, how it's sent outside Yerushalayim and thrown off a cliff. So Mishnah Dal tells us, Vekevish Eisen Loi, they would make a Kevish for it, Mipnei Bavliyim, because of the Babylonians, Shoyim Talshin Besaroi, they would pull his hair, there's Machlekas who his hair is, if it's the hair of the goat that was being pulled, or the hair of the Shliach who's bringing the goat, they would tell him, Tovetsay, take it and go. And the Gemara is going to explain why they did that. Now, Yakir Yerushalayim, the Chashvet people of Yerushalayim, Hayim Alavan Arsayat Sukha Rishayna, they would accompany him, the Sa'ir and the person with him, the Ish Iti, as the Pasuk calls him, up until the first Sukkah. Now, what does it mean, the first Sukkah? So the Mishnah explains, Esar Sukkahs from Yerushalayim at Suk, there were 10 Sukkahs, 10 booths from Yerushalayim up until the cliff, Tishim Ris, that's 90 Ris, which is a measurement of distance, Shivu Mechzul Chomil, that's 7.5 Ris for every mil, and these Sukkahs were 1 mil apart. Now, it's important to note, as we're going to see in the Gemara, that 1 mil is 2,000 amos, and we know that Tchum Shabbos, which is the same thing for Yontif, is 2,000 amos. So you can't walk more than 2,000 amos on Shabbos or Yontif. And therefore, these sukkahs, these booths, were 1 mil apart, 2,000 amos. So this Ish Iti, the fellow with the Sar LaZazel, was accompanied by one person after another, from one to another, from the third one to the fourth one, so on and so forth, until he reached the tzuk, until he reached the cliff. Now the Mishnah tells us, I'll call sukkah of a sukkah, Oimrim Loi, Harimazan Harimayim, every sukkah that he reached, they would tell him, here's food, here's water. If you want to eat, you could eat. And we'll have a nice sukkah to sukkah. They would bring it from sukkah to sukkah. Chutz min achron shebahen, except for the person who is in the last sukkah, she'ena magi imel tzuk. He didn't go with the person in the sar to the cliff. El amin meirachayk. He would stand from afar, v'royas ma'isav, and he would see what was going on. And that's because the cliff was actually 4,000 amos away from the last sukkah. So the person who was in the sukkah was only able to walk a mil, and he would have to watch from where he was the distance of a mil to see what was going on. And the Gemara tells us, it's Tony, we have Brisa teaches, then we said in the mission of a kevesh oisin loy, what does it mean kevesh? That kavash gufai, they would protect his body, they made some sort of covering for his body, so the hair shouldn't be pulled. Now, isn't it those that teach kevesh mamish, there was an actual ramp, and this is the basic understanding when you learn regular Mishnayos or Gemara Bavli, that there was a ramp that was built from Yerushalayim till outside Yerushalayim, and that way the Ishiti walking with the Sar LaZazel wasn't bothered by people pulling his hair. Now, Rabbi Yosef teaches, Alexandrian hayu oimrim, ad masayatem tolin sakakal banu, it was actually the Alexandrians who used to say, up until when are you going to have this kalkala on us? That's because we know the Sar LaZazel was part of the atonement of the kapara, as we're going to soon see, that when it was pushed off the cliff, if they were zoiche, the red thread would turn white, because that means they received the kapara. So these Alexandrians, they were the ones who would say, take it and go, and pull his hair, and say, quickly get out of here, so you could bring about this kapara. And the reason why the Mishnah called them Babylonians is because they didn't like Babylonians. And so anytime they wanted to talk about a person who's doing something wrong, or whom they didn't like, they would just call them a Babylonian, even though, again, it wasn't the Babylonians, it was Alexandrians. And we continue, the Mishnah says, Yakir Yerushalayim, Hayom Lavan Usayat Sukkah Rishayna, the Chashev people of Yerushalayim would bring him until the first Sukkah. Now, Tanu, we have a Braisa, Eser Sukkahs, B'sach Shnei Masr Mil, Divir Meir of Meir says, there were 10 Sukkahs in between these 10 mil from Yerushalayim till the Tzuk, and that's a mil in between each Sukkah. And Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda says, that Tesha Sukkahs, B'sach Asar Mil, it was 9 Sukkahs within 10 mil. And Rabbi Yossi says, Chamesh, it was actually only 5 Sukkahs, the Kulan Ali Day Erov, and all of them were by the way of Erov. Now, let's explain this. As we had said in the Mishnah, a person's only allowed to walk 2,000 amos from where they're located on Shabbos or Yontif. Now, here's the thing. You could put down an Eruv, and that basically changes where you're located. What does that mean? So let's say a person lives in a city. His city is considered his place of location. That means he's allowed to walk 2,000 amos outside of his city in any direction. Let's say, though, for whatever reason, he wants to walk towards the north of his city another 2,000 amos. So Erev Shabbos, he walks out of the city 2,000 amos. That's the Tchum. That's the furthest he's allowed to go. He puts down some food over there, and that's considered his new place of location. So he could start out Shabbos at home, that's fine, but his actual house is not really his place of location. So that means that on Shabbos, he could walk 2,000 amos from his house to where he had put his food down, and then he could walk another 2,000 amos from there and further to get to the place where he wants to. And that's what it means by way of Erov. So Rabbi Yossi is telling us that there wasn't 10 sukkahs, there was really 5 sukkahs, because the people that were remaining in the sukkahs that were there to accompany the Ish Iti and the Sar LaZazel, Erev Yom Kippur, they just made an Eruv, extending their ability to go another 2,000 amos. So take the first sukkah. That person wasn't just allowed to walk 1 mil. Since he had made an Eruv, he could walk 2 mil to the next sukkah. And same thing for the person next sukkah to the next one. So really only 5 sukkahs were necessary with 2 mil in between them, and each one extended their ability by way of this Eruv. And Rabbi Yossi continues, V'chein Amar li Eliezer b'ni, my son Eliezer told me something similar, Yochani l'asoyson shtayim al yidei Eruv. I'm able to say that there's actually only 2 sukkahs by way of Eruv. How is that possible? So if you're going to have 2 sukkahs that are 4,000 amas apart, that means that the person in sukkah number one could walk his regular 2,000 amas. By way of Eruv, if he could extend that another 2,000 amas, that's a total of 2 mil. And then there's actually 2 people in sukkah number 2. One of those people had made an Eruv going backwards, so he's allowed to walk 2,000 amas, which is 1 mil, towards Yushalayim. Then his Eruv extends that to another 2,000 amas, which is another mil, going even closer to Yushalayim. So now this 4,000 amas in between the first 2 sukkahs was just bridged by 2 people meeting up in the middle, and that's where they do this handoff of the Ish Iti and the Sar La'Azazel. Then when they get to the second sukkah, there's another person in there who had extended his Eruv as well, going outwards further away towards the Tzuk. That way we really only need 2 sukkahs. Now the Mishnah said, I'll call sukkah of a sukkah, I'm Rimloy, I'm Rimazan, I'm Rimayim. By every sukkah they would tell him, here's food, here's water, take something to eat, have something to drink. And remember, this is on Yom Kippur when you're supposed to be fasting. So why do they do this? To strengthen his koyach. Lama, why is that? She'ein Yitzhahara toiv el davar shu asr loy, because the Yitzhahara only desires something which is asr. And this person, this Ish Iti, could become very weak. Something could happen to him. He's out of the desert on Yom Kippur. It's hot, he doesn't have any food or drink, and so they would offer him, here, take food or drink, halachically it's 100% permitted, you could eat it, and now that it's there for him, he could eat it, he actually doesn't feel the need to, because it's there ready for him. Hadar of Mana, Sokol Mavakla Rav Chagai, this is just like Rav Mana, when he went to visit Rav Chagai, to have a tashish, he was weak, Amrullah, he told him, Sahina, I'm thirsty, so Amrullah, he told him, Shasei, drink, and this was on Yom Kippur. Now Shafkei left him, Nachasla, and he rested, Basar Shah, Sokol Gabe, after some time he came back to him, Amrullah, asked him, Mavata Hitzusach, what happened to your thirst? So Amrullah, he told him, Kadsharasli, Azazla, the moment you permitted me to drink, it went away, and I didn't have the desire to drink anymore. And Ruchi Barva, Hav Mishtai Hadein Ovda, Ruchi Barva used to say over the following story to see how careful you have to be when a person is thirsty, specifically when we're talking about little kids. Chad Bar Nash, there was a fellow, Hav Mahalch Bashuka, he was going in the marketplace, Ubarte Ime, his young daughter was with him. Amalei Barte's daughter told him, Abba, Tzahaina Ana, father, I'm thirsty. So Amalei told her, Urchan Sivchar, wait a little bit, we're almost there. Amalei, a little bit later, she told him, Abba, Tzahaina Ana, father, I'm thirsty. Amalei told her, Urchan Sivchar, it's just a little bit longer, wait a little bit. And what happened? She died. So you have to be very careful when a person's thirsty, especially a little kid. Make sure you get them water. And Memebez on the top, Rav Acha, Kan Mifti Musafa, after Musaf, Hava Amar Kumehain, he would say in front of everyone, in front of the Kehila, Achin and my brothers, Man de Islay Meinuk, Yezel Begine, anyone who has a child, he should go because of him. Go back home and feed your children, make sure they have food. And on Talacha Hey, the Mishnah tells us, Umahai Aisa, what would he do? What would this Ish Iti do with the Sar La'Azazel when he finally got to the cliff? So Chalak Lashon Shal Zahiris, he would split this red thread that he had with him, Chatsu Kashu Basel. Of Chatzir Kosher ben Karnov, half of it he would tie to the rock, and half of it he would tie to its horns. He would push it backwards off of the cliff. It would roll down and continue going. And usually it wouldn't even reach halfway down the mountain until it got broken up into different limbs and pieces. And once he finished that, he would now go back to the last sukkah and be there until it's dark. And the chish in this is as follows. We know that when a person goes outside of their tchum on Shabbos or Yontif, even if they went outside beheter, they were allowed to go outside their tchum, they're not allowed to go back to the original place. So this Ish Iti, he went outside of his tchum, he went way beyond the 2,000 amas, so really, after pushing the goat off the cliff, he should have to stay where he is until it becomes Matzah Yom Kippur. The reason why, though, the Mishnah allows him to go back to the first sukkah is because, first of all, he's very weak from the fast, and also because he's afraid to be out in the midbar, out in the desert all by himself, so that's why he goes back to the first sukkah to finish Yom Kippur in the company of the fellow who's there in the protection of this booth. Now the Mishnah addresses the pasuk that says that his clothing becomes tamei, so me'ema 7 times begadim, when he was begun to become tamei, mishi atzah chametz Yerushalayim, from when he had already left the walls of Yerushalayim with his Sar La'Azazel, whereas Rav Shimon Amar, he says, mishas techiyas le'tzuk, it's when he pushed it off the cliff. So the Gemara discusses this red thread. Bar Yishan originally, hayu kashner sebechane sehen, people would tie red threads to their own windows, but v'yesh mehen shayim adim, some would turn white, but some would stay red, v'hayim v'ashen el me'elu, people would get embarrassed of each other, because they would realize that that fellow got a kapara and the other one didn't. They then decided to tie it at the entrance of the Heichal and only the Kehanim could see. However, yes, Shanim Shayu Malbin, Shanim Shayu Madim, there were years that it would turn white, but years that it would stay red, and that was a cause for consternation among the nation. Therefore, Chaz V'Kashu Asa B'Sela, they just simply tied it on the rock, meaning it was just the Ish Iti that knew whether it turned white or if it stayed red. And now we go to the Pasuk about the Yidden sins turning white. So except the Pasuk says, L'chu Novi Macha Yomer Hashem V'Gaymer, and the continuation of the Pasuk is really the key, Im Yucha To'echem Kashanim, Kashel Agel Binu, if your sins are red, then and they shall turn white like snow. Vimyadimu katoila, katsemer you, and if they're a different type of red, then they're gonna be like tsemer, like wool. Now the difference between shell again, tsemer, snow, and wool is that snow is much more pure white than wool is. So here we explain this. Tani Rebbelezer, Amir Rebbelezer says, Imyuchatoichem kashanim. What does this mean, kashanim? Kashanim shebein shemaim va'aretz. If the sins are like the years that are in between shemaim and aretz, which is 500 years, whatever that means. So kashel galbinu, they're gonna be turned white like snow, which is they're gonna become 100% pure. However, Yosef Mikan, if they have more sins than that, katsemer you, they're only gonna turn white like wool. Now Shuaimer, he says, Imyuchatoichem kashanim. What does shanim mean? Kishnei avos harishanim, like the years of the earlier fathers, meaning the combined years of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, which is 500 years. So in kashel galbinu, they're gonna turn white like snow. Whereas Yosef Mikan, if it's more than that, katsemer you, they're only gonna turn white like wool. And our Rabbi Yehuda Rapazi, he says, Imyuchatoichem kashanim, kashel galbinu. That's berishain, only by the first base of Mikdash when they were more meritorious. So then they had the kapara that their sins turned white like snow. Whereas imyadim katoila katsemer you, that means they're not getting as full as a kapara. Masheni, that's by the second base of Mikdash. Now Rabbanan Amrin and Rabbanan say, Bizman shavanoisav shal adam kefi shonav kashel yabinu yosef mikan katsemer you. They're understanding that if a person's sins are like his years, so then it's going to turn like shalag. But if his sins are more than his years, so then they're just going to turn white like wool. And until Achavav, we continue discussing about the kohen gadol yom kippur. Now what we could say is that the main avodas were done, Paran Sar, which we discussed extensively, and the avodas Saddam, all of that, and the Sar La'azazel. Then we go back to the end of the Paran Sar, because we haven't done anything with their bodies yet. That's what Mishnah says, Bala Itzal Parve Itzal Sar Nisrafin. He now comes to Paran Sar, which are Nisrafin, which means they're going to be burned. Kiran, he tears them open, Vahitzis Emirayan, he takes out their Emirim, Nisan Ben Magas, he puts them inside a bowl or a basin, Victir Nagam Mizbeach, and is Machir them on Mizbeach. Actually, it's not Machir them, it means that he is going to be Machir them on Mizbeach. Now, Kilan Ben Maklois, they're then interwoven on poles, Vahitzin the base of Srefa, and they're taken out by other Kayanim to the base of Srefa, which is outside the Shalash Machnois, meaning it's outside Yerushalayim. Now, Ma'im Asayim Tam Begadim, from when do these people who are taking out the Paran Sire to burn them, do their clothing become Tame? Mishiyatsu Mechamis Hazara, when they go out of the wall of the Hazara. Mem Alpha Mun Alpha on top. Rav Shimon Amar, he says, Mishiyatsu Zer Beruban, it's only from when the fire has taken hold of the majority of the Paran Sire, that's when they become Tame. Says the Gemara, Bala Itzal Parv, Chulu, Anantaninon, we have an Arab Mishnah, Bala Itzal Parv, Itzal Sar and Usrafim. However, Isanai Tane, those that teach a Mishnah, Bala Kohen Gadol Likros, the Kohen Gadol comes to read. This is a continuation of what he does in Yom Kippur. It doesn't have to do with animals. He reads from a certain section of the Torah. And so this Braisa tells us that after the Sar La'azazel is sent out, he goes to read. Seems like a machlokes. Or Chanai says, Krom Yisrael Masisin, we have a pasuk that's a raya for our Mishnah. The pasuk says, M'shalech Sar La'azazel, the one who sent out the Sar La'azazel, Yichavis Begadav, he shall wash his clothing. And Maksiv Basri, what does it say right afterwards? Ves Parachatas, Sarachatas, Aparan Sarachatas, are now processed further. So it seems to be very clear from the pasuk that after Sar La'azazel is sent out, then we do what our Mishnah says, which is process the Paran Sire and get them prepared to be burned. However, Amar Rav Manah says that no, it could even be like we were taught in a Braisa, where it seems to be that he's going right away to read, and he's not taking care of the Paran Sire, taking out the Murim and getting them ready to burn, because Tanai Buraya, this other Braisa, Asahi, it's like the following, Ka'anash the Salak Mitvaria Litziparin, like a person who left Tveria on his way to Tzipari, Adhu Bitvaria, and even while he's still in Tveria, I mean, he's just going out on his journey to Tziparin, and he's not near Tzipari at all. Amrin, still, what does he say? That between Yosef, he's in Tzipari. Why is that? Because since he's on his way to Tzipari, he already considers himself a Tzipari, and it's the same thing. What's the next thing that the Kohen Gadol is going to be doing? He's going to be reading from the Sefer Torah. And that's why the Ma'an D'Amar of this Braisa says that after this, he goes straight to reading. Now, he doesn't actually go straight to reading. He takes care of the Paran and the Sire, but that's not something that he's doing. That's something other Kohanim are doing. So for all intents and purposes, the Kohen Gadol is going straight to reading, and that's why the Tana said this, so it's not a stira. We're going to stop here for the day. I pick up tomorrow, continue to discuss this. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.